What's trending?
Number one on What's Trending, the Royals begin a series, I should say, against the Angels tonight. Has not begun yet. It will tonight, 6:40. First right. pitch, Michael Lorenzen is on the bump. Vern's on deck show at 5:30. Well, I was trying to get a little momentum here. We are in the month of September. It's been the home stretch for a while, but it truly is the home stretch there. 2.5 back from a playoff spot, back of the Mariners. Now, the Rangers did leapfrog them over the weekend. The Rangers, one of the hottest teams in baseball, unfortunately. The Royals do get the Mariners later on this month. But the Rangers suddenly are also a team that are back in the mix. After at one point, the Rangers fell to 6.5 back, but they've been hot.
Do have a tiebreaker against the Rangers due to a good season series against them. Certainly makes things more appealing there. Next up on Watch Trending, the Chiefs game week. Obviously official here. Practice getting ready to get underway in about an hour from now. Andy Reid scheduled to talk to the media coming up. Patrick Mahomes will talk to the media on Thursday. Obviously to meet some of the, I think, international part of the media from Sao Paulo before their game on Friday. Normally he would not talk the day before a game day, but obviously things looking a little bit different. It looks like, according to most reports, it'll be the same player missing, Jalen Royals. Everyone else has been on the practice field all weekend for the Chiefs.
Some NFL news in the last hour. The Buffalo Bills are re-signing their former wide receiver, Gabe Davis. Remember, he left Buffalo, went to Jacksonville, never worked out down there. He tore his meniscus. He was available for the last month, I think, at least, if not more. I don't know if he actually ever was in camp with anybody, but Gabe Davis is going to go to the practice squad for the Bills. He's still only 26 years old, but just did not do well away from Buffalo, and now the Bills bring him back.
He didn't do that good in Buffalo. He had that 1 year, 900 yards, where people thought he was getting ready to explode onto the scene.
Destroyed the Chiefs in one game, and
he had like
that's what
yards.
Boosted his stock drastically.
Yeah, that was probably not outside of it. Lastly on What's Trending, we'll talk maybe more about it later. Only standalone college football game last night. North Carolina got whipped by TCU in Chapel Bill, as they're calling him's debut.
Drew loves
obviously,
that.
I know he hates it.
Drew
you know, it's the
Chapel
same thing.
Bill.
You know how many times I've been added now in jersey number days away to the Chiefs NFL
Chapel
season?
Chapel Bill.
Every day.
Okay. I just enjoyed all the funny social media comments. You know, his girlfriend, Belichick's girlfriend, entering the transfer portal. The final score, the same as the age gap between him and Jordan, all that kind of stuff was fun. I will mention, Cody, one more thing for What's Trending. I saw 41, KSHB 41 reporting that they're hearing that the FIFA World Cup presale will begin on Wednesday, October 1st. Sign up for it will begin September 10th through the 19th.
Okay.
That's according to
41. I mean,
I'm
obviously going to sign up for it.
Yeah, so I believe it's a Visa presale October 1st, but the sign up for the presale, if that makes sense. So the pre-sign up for the presale starts September 10th.
And we're not going to know.
Not until December 5th will we know the group, all that kind of stuff.
I wonder if when the presale hits, if they'll give you group positions in the stages, or if you're just blindly selecting
just blind.
A day.
Oh, that's a good question.
And maybe it's the best team in the group. Maybe it's the worst team in the group.
My guess is you're buying dates.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you don't know the group.
Dates.
You're just buying, hey, I want Saturday, June 20th. I'm making updates. June 25th. Or whatever.
I'll enter for every single day available. I do not care which teams I get to go see.
Well, it's not a lottery. I mean, it'll be like you'll just go in and you'll pick a day that's available. Like, it's not, I don't think it's a full blown lottery. It's
and
a
then maybe you'll get lucky and you get to see the best team in the group play or whatever. Yeah, that might be how it works.
Yeah. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, it's normally on a Monday, but look, we didn't have the shot. I don't know if you guys mentioned, I want to make sure we give some love to our lunch partner on Monday. We'll kind of back things up through the rest of the week as well. So 30 Hop, of course, is our Monday lunch partner here on Cody and Gold. 30 Hop, two locations in Kansas City, right down the street from us in Merriam. Also one out in Lee Summit. You mentioned the decks and patios. It is a great time to go to one of the expansive patios.
Outside.
They have massive patios. Great spot there at 30 Hop. Make sure to check them out for their happy hours on Monday. $5.99 classic burgers. So next Monday, I understand today's Tuesday, but we weren't on the show. So I want to make sure we mention our friends over at 30 Hop. And we'll talk about our Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday a little bit later on in the week.
Perfect. Can't wait. Obviously, there's lots going on this week. KUMU, more college football, right? We got to find out whether or not they bounce back from at least that end. So we go back into there as well. And then, starting tonight, the Royals are only 2.5 games back of a playoff spot. They've remained in that range. And now, Gold, Jack Caglione, our guy Cags, and the local kid, Carter Jensen, both get the call this weekend. And if you're saying this, the thing I like the most about it, and you and I have continued to say this year, I do not understand people who are like, let's just wait till next year. Hell no. They're 2.5 games back. Go for it. And the best chance to make the playoffs for this team is Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen getting hot. Yeah, with the rest of the stuff, Vinny continuing to do what he's done well. Although that haircut, I got some questions about.
I like it.
You like Vinny's new dude?
I knew Drew would like the haircut.
I think it's hilarious.
It was just a bet he made with Salvi about something about being over 500 in September or something like that. I don't know what the details are. We'll find out today.
Does DeJuan cut everyone's hair who is an athlete in this entire city?
He's He's kind of the guy. Yeah.
Salvi's, Patrick's, Bobby's, Vinny's.
They all know each other. And then a new player gets called up. And they're like, oh, by the way, I get my haircut from this guy. I'm sure it's just it's just consistent.
I guess we'll see Carter Jensen out there. Yeah, Drew.
I knew you would like the haircut. That cut, Drew?
No.
Okay.
Imagine how I would look with that hair. You have to grow it first?
I will say this. If he's still playing lights out, he can't change it. He has to stick with it.
But he's playing lights out with the old hair.
Correct. The worry is now, let's say he gets cold.
That would be tough.
He's had an interesting look because, at the beginning of the year, it felt like he was going full Italian Heritage Month. Like, his hair was, long and flowing, and he had kind of, more of the mustache-style hair, and then he went clean-shaven for, a few weeks, and that threw me off.
Was the clean shaven a shaving mishap, or just he was too damn hot outside and he's like, I got to get rid of this stuff?
I wonder if it was just too hot. Maybe get an itch under the beard and you're like, I got to clean this up. Got to get a little, I got to moisturize it under there. Uh-huh. I don't know.
I will say though,
I didn't ask him.
As far as the moves though, you're right. I mean, having Cags and Carter Jensen is an all-in move for September. It's exciting. I don't know how you're not excited as a fan of the Royals to see that. I'm surprised that these were the two moves they were able to make. Now, an injury to Jonathan India is why they were able to call both of them up. Remember, J.J. Piccolo last week said they were going to call up one hitter, one pitcher due to just roster restrictions.
And they did that.
And they did. Avila's up as well. It's just with Jonathan India going to the IL, they're able to make this move.
Do you think the extra guy was Carter Jensen or Jack Caglione? If Jonathan India wasn't hurt, who is, because there's an argument.
I don't know if we'll ever get the answer.
No, you won't be able to pry it out of JJ. But the truth is, because Salvador Perez does seem not worn down, but again, was playing better when Freddie Fermin was here and had the chance to take some of those innings off of him, which I think is always just a benefit to Salvador Perez. You could make an argument that it was getting ready to be Jensen and Cags was the extra guy because of India. I don't know.
Yeah, well, based on what JJ was telling us last week, you and I both thought it wasn't going to be Cags, just based on how he was phrasing the call-up or potential call-up. But they're both up. Neither one's going to play every day. They're going to be in situational spots. Carter Jensen, I don't know, maybe makes his debut at some point, tonight. If not, it'll be this series, obviously. We'll see with the lineup, and maybe there's a pinch hit spot. It makes them a deeper team. Now, it's tricky with all the left-handed bats. I mean, how Q is going to navigate that? We're going to see even more in-game moves than we've already seen, which are a ton, by the way. That's just how they operate. Yeah. But we're going to see it even more.
Oh, yeah, because the lefty-heavy lineup against righties, second a left-handed reliever gets in, the lineup's going to get flipped again.
So be ready for a lot more movement than we already see in a lineup adjustment or defensive adjustment, I should say, in-game and things like that. But, yeah, can Cags provide you something off the bench, even in a pinch hit spot? We know he's got the power, right? The question is consistent quality at bats. And hopefully this does build momentum for next year. But more importantly, right now, as JJ was telling us, they're making moves to win right now. And this was another sign of it. If he can help you win a baseball game, that's why he's up here. We can talk about his long-term future. I don't think this next month is going to clear anything up necessarily. If he's awesome, if he's terrible, this month is not going to decide what he is as a big leaguer. But it's going to shape the narrative all offseason. I understand that's the case for a lot of fans. To me, we will not know until a full 2026 season where things really are at with Jack Caglione as a big league player. Not what he does the final 20 games or whatever it is going to be, hopefully more, in September. But I am excited to see both of them up with the club, and we'll see how often they play, though. And, they're going to ride the hot hand. So if Cags or Carter Jensen get off to a good start immediately, well, they're going to find more ways to get those guys in the lineup.
What's crazy is it shouldn't count less than the portion we saw before. Let's just say Cags plays 20 games the remaining of the year because he gets hot, they keep him in, and he is a great, he's a great hitter the rest of the way. Well, that means just as much as the 40 before. We're talking about 2/3 versus 1/3 of a 60-game major league career. Both can be equally true or more true than the other. So to your point, we'll get back into the beginning part of next season and just say, well, I'm starting with my opinion of him from scratch. He is still the most dynamic power hitter they have available. Carter Jensen, by the way, has been putting up some big power numbers himself in AAA. So I don't want to dismiss the fact that the two guys they just added are two of the better power hitting guys they have on there. And for a team that has hit for way more power since the All-Star break, they still lack it in the bottom part of the order where these two guys are likely to go. What was surprising to me over this weekend, and I don't know what the record is now that they lost. This was before they lost the game on Sunday. Before the loss on Sunday, the Royals had the best record in the American League from the All-Star break on. I mean, that's pretty telling of the level of baseball they have been playing up to this point. Good. Really, really good baseball. Best record in the American League from the All-Star break on were the Royals up until Sunday's loss against Detroit.
And unfortunately, it tells you how big of a hole they dug themselves. That's the frustrating thing. Like, as great as it is, that's what's frustrating is because that's the
type
of
playoff spot right now.
They're playing instead. Yeah, they're 2.5 back, but a week ago, there was only one team in front of them. There's two. I know we've talked about the Texas thing, but, and yes, 2.5 games is obviously in reach. I'm just saying this is why when there were 40 games left and they were, you know, four out, people are like, oh, there's plenty of time to make it up. It's like, it sounds like there is, but there's really not. And so now there's 20 some odd games left. Yes, you're 2.5 back, but another team is in front of you now. You can say it's just about the Mariners. Sure, I agree to a certain extent. But the Rangers got hot enough to where now they're in front of you. And the Guardians
are only...
They're
closer in the game perspective, but they're...
And the Guardians, you can say they don't matter, fine, but they're only a game behind you now. I'm just saying, like, that's why it is constantly foot on the gas. You have to... This Angels team you're playing is not any good. Have to win the series. Every series now, you're basically at have to win, unless you think you're sweeping the Mariners and picking up three games right there.
How many games do we think that Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione play?
Out of the... What's the exact number of games left?
They have here. I can look it up. I think it's like 23, 24 or something like that. But let's look up the exact number. It might be a few more than that. I haven't looked up the Royals' exact game total here left. I keep checking the standings. I'm curious about that more.
Are they capable of playing 9 to 10 game above 500 ball the rest of the way?
That's what they have. We've pointed this out. That's what they have been playing.
Yep.
But they do have to continue to play that outside of that. They have 25 games remaining. So they have 70 wins right now. To get to 86 wins, they will have to go 16-9 over the course of that stretch in order to get to 86 wins.
If you think that's the number, and you and I tend to think it is.
I kind of feel like that's where it's going to fall when all things shake out. Like, as it sits right now, I guess the Mariners are 73-65. You could probably do the easy math on that. They've played 138 games, so let's see. Their win percentage is .528. If you take that over a 162-game schedule, that's 85.5 wins, Gold. Okay. That's what the Mariners are currently pacing
so
for.
80, you need to get 86.
86, 87 wins is probably what you're looking at. 16-9.
As far as how
17
many
games, and 8, that's what we're looking at.
You asked the question, how many games are Cags in?
I think they both play 18 to 20.
Yeah, so what's tricky about this, it's truly right in the hot hand.
Get
so
18 to 20. That's what's tough.
Yeah, not
start.
Yeah. No chance. Yeah, I think because of the opportunity with the bat in, you know, eighth or ninth inning pinch hit role for someone on the, you know, in the bottom of the order or something like that. Yeah, that's probably the right range, Cody. I think you're pretty close. If one of them gets hot, then it bumps up and they play in 20 plus. But that would require them immediately hitting the ground running. And we're talking about Cags, who struggled the last time he was up. We're also still talking about Carter Jensen making his big league debut. So
for the same reason we went through Cags, sometimes you get to the bigs and it's a bit slow going there in the early go. But the other problem is, like, Luke Maley is just... This goes back to the whole Cags thing. It's not even meant to be a knock on, like, guys like Nick Lofton or some of these others. It's just the potential with Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen. The potential with Carter Jensen over Luke Maley is 10 times that offensively. It's 10 times that with Jack Caglione over Tyler Tolbert or Nick Lofton or some of these other guys.
Tyler
Tolbert's been in three of the last five lineups.
No, I'm with you.
So,
I don't need
you just
got to
take those chances.
Yeah, like Tolbert as a base runner is fine. I don't need him in the lineup. And with the with who they have on the roster, there's no reason he should be in the lineup the rest of the way, honestly. Like,
I'd be surprised.
It makes no sense, nor I just don't know why he would be in the lineup. But, you know, you mentioned potential, and that's true for guys like Cags and obviously Carter Jensen. The tricky thing is there's 25 games left. Nick Lofton may not have the same ceiling, and he doesn't, as those guys, but right this second...
Oh, his floor is better.
That's the issue, you know?
But you're behind.
I understand.
If you had the playoff spot, that's what's funny. if they were 2.5 games up in the playoff spot, I don't think they'd play it the same way. I think it would be Luke Maley. I do think it would be more Lofton. I do think the floor conversation would be more valuable to the team and would make more sense if just the roles were reversed. But because you're chasing and there's only 25 games, it's ceiling time. We're out here swinging for the fences. I mean, literally, with Caglione and Carter Jensen and their chances
of
the playoffs.
But you also can't have a guy in the everyday lineup, though, that is going to go 0-for-4 because he's doing that and that only, right? Like, there's the balance. That's why I think he's going to be more of a guy that comes in later in the game. I don't know how many actual starts Cags is going to get. Yeah, he's got the power potential. He's got the power potential, sure, but is the swing just magically fixed?
I think they're both starting 10 to 15, appear in 18 to 20. I think they're both starting at least half of the remaining games, and I think that they're, because I do think that they'll try to get Salvi a little bit of rest, and I think that they're, because, and I do think that they got a better chance to start over the next at least 10 games while Jonathan India is on the injured list, and they don't have the right-handed bat to kind of balance that. I am curious. I had not looked up. FanGraphs has the Royals now down to a 10.8% chance to make the playoffs. They're about 17% on FanGraphs about a week ago. They are technically closer in games based on the last time we checked, but there are a whole hell of a lot less games remaining.
And there's a team. There's another team in front of them.
They got the Rangers higher than them at an 18% chance to make the postseason. So honestly, the truth is, if they were just reversed, they'd probably have them at about the same percentage chance to make the postseason.
We'll talk more about the Royals tomorrow with Josh Fournier. Obviously, let's see how they do tonight in game one against the Angels out at Kauffman Stadium. Plus, if either Cags or Carter Jensen get into the game tonight, my guess is at least one of them does in some form or fashion. Yeah. Plus, sometimes, you know, you want to get the Carter Jensen big league debut out of the way.
I love him, a good major league debut.
Yeah, that's what's fun about it, but it is crunch time, say the least, 25 games to go. All right, we'll continue our NFL divisional look for the 2025 season. We've been going around the league. We've been going division by division. Today, we land on the NFC North.
Okay, so it sounds like you, I'll let you go first because it sounds like you got a heavy lean on the Packers.
Well, I do. If I'm going to tell you earlier in the show that if I had to bet $100 on teams to win the Lombardi and I would part ways with my $100 potentially, how many teams would I bet to win the Super Bowl? The Packers are one of the four. I will go Packers to win the division. Look, I understand the concern about Jordan Love, but I think Matt LaFleur is one of the better head coaches. Yeah, I do think by the season's end, Matthew Golden will be viewed as one of the better receivers in football. Josh Jacobs is still there. The defense is legit. Add in Micah Parsons to the mix as well. That division is tricky because I love Kevin O'Connell in the scheme and everything there in Minnesota, but I'm still very, very skeptical of J.J. McCarthy. I don't think the Vikings are making the playoffs this year. So I have the Packers winning it, the Lions and the Bears making the postseason. I have Caleb Williams taking a big leap with Ben Johnson this year. So Bears end up basically finishing third as a wild card in the division. Lions finish second as a wild card. Packers win the division. They will host a divisional round playoff game.
So you've got three teams out of the playoffs. We'll give our full, like, 14-team fields, I'm sure, on Thursday. Sure. As we kind of get in there and then give you our Super Bowl predictions that day as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, even though I told you I would give the Packers a better chance to win than the Lions, I will still take the Lions to win this division. I've softened a little bit on my offseason rhetoric on the J.J. McCarthy. They've tried to replace him because the reports are that he looks pretty good, but it's still the same thing. I swear to you, they spent 6 months trying to find someone to back up J.J. McCarthy in case J.J. McCarthy stunk. And if that's how a team was already viewing their situation before, I'm not willing to pick them as a division winner. I'm not picking the Bears until they actually prove a damn thing in the NFL. No thanks. Prove to me you're an actually good team. The Packers are the team that I would seriously consider outside of that gold for the same reason. They were the fifth best scoring defense in the NFL last year without Micah Parsons. And that was in a division that could score. Vikings could score. Lions could score. And they were still the fifth best scoring defense in the league. I'll still give the Lions the edge. I'll say that they're not falling off the difference between them and the Packers last year. The Vikings are the team I think they overcome. So I've got it: Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears.
Yeah, someone on the text line says, what has Matt LaFleur done in the playoffs to impress you? I would say, what NFC coach other than Sirianni and Shanahan has done anything to impress you at this point? Honestly.
They also were like, weren't they also ahead of the Niners in the final possession of the game that... To get to the NFC title game?
I'm not sure.
They were in an NFC title game, weren't they?
Using the playoff thing against them doesn't make any sense, though, because, honestly, other than Sirianni and Shanahan, in the NFC, tell me what coach you feel good about in the postseason. And also, in their own division, the playoff point makes no sense. We're just doing a
NFC North
conversation.
Yeah.
But Kevin O'Connell, who I like, he's 0-2 in the playoffs. Matt LaFleur hasn't won a playoff game either, or only has one, or whatever it is what, like, so this idea that Matt LaFleur has done less, Dan Campbell actually has the best record in the postseason of anybody in that division. And, but we're not talking postseason. We're talking winning your division, and I'm going with the Pack.
Matt LaFleur has been the head coach of the Green Bay Packers for 6 years. They've made the playoffs 5 of those 6 years. They went to back-to-back conference title games with Aaron Rodgers. They've lost in the wild card in the divisional round each of the last 2 years.
He's better off than any of the other guys. Yeah. What are we talking about?
His playoff record of wild card, division, conference title game, 4 years in a row. My issue is that with Aaron Rodgers, he finished first, and first in the division. With Jordan Love, he's finished third, second, and third. I don't think that that's not a Jordan Love thing, right?
No, I also think it's the Detroit Lions now.
That absolutely could be a portion of it.
It's a little bit of both, maybe.
There's some missing element there with Jordan Love, the way I described Justin Herbert. As in, I'm not like banging the table saying the guy's no good, guy can't play. It's like, are you a killer? Is there some part of you that has like another level that I haven't seen yet and you're getting ready to show it to me? Because Goff does show some killer stuff sometimes. He's playing in a Super Bowl. He's been to conference.
Yeah, real quick, I'll say before, Drew, give us your divisional outlook. Text line brings up one other name for the NFC. Like, again, we're having an NFC North convo, but for the playoff convo, coach-wise, Sean McVay would be the other name. That's fair.
Yeah, of course.
McVay, Shanahan, Sirianni.
Drew, quickly, who are your four in order?
Packers, Lions, Vikings, Bears.
Do you think all three make... Do you have three playoff teams out of the division?
I haven't quite figured that out yet, but I believe at least two.
I have two.
I'm leaning three, but I've got at least two.
Do you have the Bears still finishing last? Do you think Caleb Williams just doesn't have it?
That doesn't mean that I think this might be the best division in football outside of the AFC West where they're vying for, where the Bears could go 8-9. And they just...
Still last.
You know, the division's just tough.
Yeah.
But it's still the same thing.
Cody, you're going Lions. Drew's going Packers. I'm going Packers as well. That's a look at the NFC North. Tomorrow we'll continue going around the NFL. Up next, though, we were just touching on it a little bit. How many legit contenders for that Lombardi are there? I only have 4. Plus, we'll get to the random question of the day. Coming up in 30 minutes, you're going to hear from Andy Reid, George Karlaftis, and Hollywood Brown as they, of course, get set to head down to Brazil Friday night. Against the Chargers, right here on 96.5, the Fan, Chiefs Radio Network. It's back, baby. Chiefs football is back. NFL football is back on Thursday when the Cowboys and Eagles open up. We'll get into the Lombardi contenders in just a second. We asked Nate Taylor about my list of 4. You guys added a few to the list as well. And the text line can always interact with us. 913-586-7965, plus the video stream. I think we got it working again. It's up and running on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss the shows, any of them here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we get to Lombardi, I do want to mention real quick, we were talking earlier about K-State football, and I know we'll get back into them in the 1 o'clock hour after Andy and the guys speak, but it is Border War Week. Carrington was already talking some smack in the hallway.
Wow.
It's going to be a fun, interesting week between us, I think. He was asking if I was going to Columbia.
They got the basketball bragging rights a year ago.
They killed KU last year.
Man,
basketball.
They got.
Yeah, they finally got that done. Like,
when's the last time they won in both in the same year?
I don't know.
Back in the
early
2000s, I'm guessing.
But they're playing football, obviously, on Saturday in Columbia. And I know I will not be going to Columbia to watch them. But anyway, we were talking some smack. And then I was telling him, he seemed to kind of disagree with me a little bit. But that game should be at Arrowhead on Saturday because it's the restarting of the rivalry.
Agreed.
On the football end. Now, I love the campus sites.
Like, same as like T-Mobile for the basketball.
Yeah, part of this is probably because I was just at the Nebraska game on Thursday, and it was an awesome atmosphere. Nebraska fans showed up. It was great. We can talk more about the Big Ten in Nebraska and everything as the season goes on. But as far as the atmosphere, I was like, this should be the site for KUMU, and then we do the campus sites in Columbia and Lawrence as time goes on as well. But the first one back this Saturday should be at Arrowhead. It's unfortunate it's not. I'm bummed out about that. Could you imagine?
Game day should also be.
That's the other thing that's crap.
Yeah, why isn't game day? Why did they go to Michigan OU? That is a meaningless.
I hate it. I'm not
25, but it's not the better rivalry.
Like, I'm not surprised. I think we knew this was probably going to happen because if you're in the SEC, even though Missouri is an SEC school, if you're on the East Coast or whatever, you probably, KUMU. But people don't realize how long that rivalry has been around. It's one of the rivalries in sports.
And Oklahoma and Michigan isn't a rivalry.
They're playing for the second time ever. I mean, there is no connection.
For everything that college football is,
they're not even in the same conference.
Yeah, for all of what college football is, it should be and has been. It should
I agree.
Be KU AM.
It's a bummer 100%. That they're not going there. I know, like, the SEC Nation and those shows are going, but we're talking about College Game Day. Should absolutely be in Columbia this weekend. It's a bummer. I hope that Oklahoma-Michigan game just sucks, honestly. I hope it stinks.
I hope it's just like a bummer of a game that nobody cares about. And Oklahoma has not been quite the same level of Oklahoma over the last few years, and they're just going to get – this is the one thing that they never appreciate when they go. Oklahoma is already getting sucked up into the wash of the SEC. Like, Texas has remained a brand, although they lost to Ohio State over the weekend. They've remained their – but, like – do you guys already feel that? Like, Oklahoma just slowly getting sucked up into this, like, you're no different than Auburn. You're not one of the four names we mentioned in the SEC.
Yeah, that was always
going to
happen.
Middle 5 through 12 teams we mentioned in the
100%.
SEC.
That was always going to happen. Yes.
And, like, that's, like, versus, you used to be a big dog on the street in the old Big 12. Yeah. You used to, like, swing around and be one of the two big names floating through this conference, and now you're just, like, in the wash. No, I'm very disappointed that College Game Day isn't there. Mostly because, like, if the rivalry's restarting, it was a layup. They both gave you what you wanted. Both teams beat up on the bad teams. So for the moment, you can envision a world and you can just tell yourself they're both top 25 teams. It might not be true, but you can tell yourself that for the sake of pitching this matchup.
Whoever wins on Saturday will be in the top 25. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Right.
Whoever wins that will. Someone was asked about Big Noon kickoff. Will they go there?
Remember, I think they're in Norman too, right? I think they're going to Norman as well.
I'll tell you where they're not.
They're
I know they're
both
not
going.
Well, they're not.
So.
Don't. Maybe I'm off on this.
They did the same thing.
Go anywhere that doesn't involve a Big Ten school. That's the whole thing, right? Am I off on that? I thought Big Noon kickoff only goes Big Ten. This day. Like it usually has to involve a Big Ten school.
Typically,
it's the Fox
Steelers
Big Ten, and so yeah, there is no way Big Noon was going to Columbia. I mean, I'm fairly certain that Big Noon only goes to games involving one Big Ten school.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Big Noon kickoff is going to Ames.
And who are they? Is it Iowa State? Mm-hmm. Again, involves a Big Ten school. But that's the Big Ten match.
Credit to Fox for doing what they're doing with Big Noon kickoff, because they're picking a rivalry game that has a lot of history, a lot of hate. That I feel like that's for game day. They drop because they've been to Arrowhead before when those two schools have played. Of course, it was later in the season, all those other things. But why not embrace what college football is? And that's the rivalries, the pageantry, the hate, the traditions and stuff. Like you said, Michigan, Oklahoma played once before. Like, it feels like it's a bit of a dud for them to pick this game over the richer tradition, richer rivalry, more hate, everything that makes college sports what they are in KUMU. It just made more sense to do that.
I guess the hope is KU and MU, one of them, both of them have a good finish of the year. And that way next year in Lawrence, and maybe it's game day. Look, I'm not going to Columbia either. I can't blame you.
You're not going to go out?
I'm not going to Columbia. Are you kidding me? No chance.
Carrington's probably not either. He spends more time in Lawrence than Columbia.
He does spend more time in Lawrence. Yeah,
he spends significantly more time in Lawrence.
Carrington secretly, like, this is the one weekend where he's really full-blown Mizzou. Other than that, he secretly is a KU guy, actually.
You think he's putting on a show?
Yeah, he's actually a KU guy. He really likes Lawrence.
Wow.
He doesn't want to tell people because it ruins the whole vibe for him. But I think this is the one weekend where he's diehard Mizzou, and then other than that, he's actually a KU guy.
From the 913, it's OU and Michigan, two of the big dogs of college football. If you go back and you look at
when's the last time Oklahoma did anything?
2000. In three?
Was Baker Mayfield
Michigan
the starter?
Obviously,
by the way,
won a title a couple years ago.
And by the way, Michigan also, if we go back before pre-Jim Harbaugh, couldn't beat Ohio State to save their lives.
But now Ohio State can't, you know, it's the other way around now.
Yeah, that is. But in fairness to them, Ohio State did win a national title, and that's in, you know, with last year. But if they're big brands, but if you're watching college football and we're talking about rivalries and what makes college football rich in tradition, which is where I think game day likes to do at least, it likes to emphasize college towns and having all that experience and focusing on the great stories of college football. The Border War being back is a really, really big deal, or at least it should be.
Yeah, I'm pumped.
I think.
Pumped for Saturday afternoon there in Columbia. All right, coming up in about 6 minutes, we'll get to the random question of the day, but we had mentioned this a little bit when we were talking about the NFC North, and one of the teams there is involved in this convo. And I was asking you guys earlier, just how many legitimate Lombardi contenders are there in the NFL if you were to put your money on it? It's very easy to say, like, if there's nothing attached to it, oh yeah, I'll just throw in an extra team. There's six or seven teams. I'm saying if you actually had to bet $100 for each one of these teams, how many teams would you be willing to hand over $100 and bet on? And that's why my list is only four. It's the Chiefs.
It's a short list.
It's the Bills. It's the Eagles and the Packers. I'm not even basing this off of odds. Like, take the odds part of it out of it.
No, because technically the odds on favorite is the Ravens.
Yeah, and I did not pick them.
So you're definitely
those are the only four teams I actually think can win the Super Bowl here in 2025.
I add the Ravens. I told you my list is a little bit longer. I want to include the Packers, but it goes back to the thing I was talking about with Jordan Love. We're like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of hung in a weird spot. It's definitely not a non-zero, but to your metric that is, I would place money on them to win the Super Bowl. I wouldn't do it. I would not place money on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. I would for the Ravens and the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Bills, the same teams I've been betting on all these other years. And I told you the team I would include is the Washington, or I'm sorry, not Washington, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just something about that team that I genuinely think you should consider any team in which you think they might be the best at one side of the football in the NFL. Now, to my point, I did not have Cincinnati in there. They might have the best offense in the league. But also, the Buccaneers don't have the worst defense in the NFL. It can't just be one-sided in the sense that that's all you've got. I think the Bucs deserve kind of the long shot play on here. And I
don't hate it. I think they
have the kind of team that could do it.
I don't hate it. I told you, look, that division's not very good. You know, I think Baker's a dark horse MVP candidate. So I don't hate the idea. I think the tricky thing with any of the AFC North teams is, and I guess you could pinpoint a little bit to the NFC North, but I just think there's more quarterback questions in the NFC North than the AFC North, obviously. And so, you know, if you get out of the AFC North, to me, you're not one of the top two seeds, most likely. And to me, you're getting beat up. And in a long grind of a season, I wonder about that. You know, versus like on the NFC North side, you know, JJ McCarthy is a complete unknown, as we talked about. Caleb Williams is still somewhat of an unknown. It's an easier path to the Packers winning that division than it is even Baltimore, who's a better team. I'm not disputing it. Like, I actually do think Baltimore is a better team heading in the season than the Green Bay Packers right this second on September 2nd. But by the time we get to the end of the year, when Micah Parsons is not dealing with this, whatever, is it back injury, whatever he's getting shot up for. He's got like an injection that he's going to have
exactly,
before week one.
Yeah.
So we'll see, man. Like, I think those are the only four that I would put in. You're adding in the Bucs. Drew, I think you said you would add in the Ravens. Is that right as well?
Yes, I would add in.
Ravens are tough. What is it about the Ravens, just on curiosity principle? What is it about the Ravens that doesn't make you want to? Is it because they just have, because, like, you know, obviously the Bills haven't played in the Super Bowl either.
No, the Bills have been the
same number of AFC title game appearances.
I still just think Josh Allen's a better quarterback, first and foremost. That's part of it.
I think that's what I'm asking. I'm not a knock.
I'm genuinely curious why not to include the Ravens.
I don't know. I think if you're going to include the Bills, I think you have to just kind of include the Ravens because they're built in a very similar way. Defenses are very good.
Big difference, though, is the Bills will definitively win their division. You know, the Ravens
will. I didn't hear what you let them finish. I couldn't
hear it, Drew.
I was just saying that they're both built very similarly. The defenses have been very good. Wide receiver rooms are a little bit iffy, not exactly top heavy. Tight ends, Dalton Kincaid, Mark Andrews, like, and Isaiah Likely. It feels like they're built similar. Good coaches, good organizations. I think if you're going to include the Bills, you have to include the Ravens just because they've been in the same pool of NFL playoff teams for as long as they have been in there. I think that I would take Lamar over Josh Allen. Maybe that's why I think you have to include the Ravens in that conversation.
Yeah, again, I've never had an argument over 2, 3, 4. I think you can interchange Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Burrow, just kind of depending on which flavor of the week you prefer. Gold, I think your strongest argument would be the Bills are making the playoffs. Nobody's winning the AFC East besides them.
No, it's an easier path. They're going to be the number one seed.
You're right about the division for sure.
They're going to be the number one seed.
Ravens will at least have to earn it a little bit. They got to work for those spots. Now, they've been first place in their division for the last 7 years, first or second place, 6 of the last 7 years, and I have no idea what happened to them in 2021 where they finished 8-9 and missed the playoffs. Was Lamar hurt that year? Or did they just have, like, some weirdo year?
What year are you
Lamar
talking about?
Was hurt that year.
That was Tyler Huntley was the...
Started 4 games, played in 7, so that was probably...
And the playoff game, the Ravens were... It was tied 17-17, and Tyler Huntley went for a... He lunged at the goal line, ball got knocked out, and Sam Hubbard took it to the house, 99 gotcha. Yards. That was the...
Gotcha. That wasn't a playoff game. 2021 is when they missed the playoffs is the year I'm talking about.
Oh,
the year after that were Tyler Huntley in 2022.
They missed it entirely in 21?
No, they missed the playoffs altogether.
That was the Titans were the one seed, right?
The Titans were a one seed?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Like with recently?
With Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Like in the last 4 years?
The Bengals, when they went to the Super Bowl that same year, the Bengals beat them and they were the one seed.
What? That doesn't sound right.
You almost have to...
Are we sure that was not like a decade ago?
That was in the last 5 years.
Yeah. That was the last year that Derrick Henry was there.
That doesn't even seem...
Ryan Tannehill was putting up really good numbers that year, I believe.
No, Ryan Tannehill was kind of an underrated middle-of-the-road quarterback for a while there in the NFL. I'm just so confused. That seems like so much longer ago.
Don't forget, Sports Talk here on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Random question.
It was 2021, for what it's worth. The Titans were the one seed.
There you go.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. You see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. So for you, Gold, you, Drew, text line 913-586-7965. Of course, we're back up. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. A little hiccup earlier. We're all squared away. So you can watch all three shows over on the streams. Subscribe on YouTube. Pops to the top of your feed. That way you don't miss any of the action over here. Simple question today that comes up over a holiday weekend, because this happens anytime you get a little free time. What is the worst favor to be asked? So, of all of the many available choices, babysitting, moving, picking up at the airport, the variety of options available to you, of all the favors that you do not like being asked, very simply, what is the worst one to be asked? I'll have to count on you for the text line answers there as well.
Wow.
Which one do you dislike the least?
Well, so I know a lot of people would say, so my friend was,
Do you ever get asked to babysit?
No.
Okay.
No. That one I wouldn't mind as much. But I was going to say, the popular one I'm sure we're about to see on the text line is anybody that has a truck.
Moving.
If I had the F-150 years and years ago, I would be asked to help move people probably, because you have a truck. My buddy has had a truck his entire life.
And you've made him move.
That's the answer for a lot of people, I'm guessing. I'm trying to think right
over
now.
Over on like, the text or over on Twitch, why not, says money. Any borrowing of money?
I have a firm fly. There has to be a specific circumstance. In general, it depends on who are you borrowing the money from. Like, friends, unless we're talking a few bucks.
If I needed $200, would you loan it to me?
For you, because I know where you're at every single day.
You can't really
You're right here every single day. That's what I'm saying. It really matters. Is it a friend that you see all the time? Or is it a friend you see once every 6 months that you don't think you're ever going to get the money?
Ask for money if it's somebody
that's
you see
what I'm saying.
Months.
It has to be a close friend or somebody that you work with directly. In general, I always think, like, having a friend loan you money is a situation you don't want to ever get in anyway, because it can ruin a relationship, right? Like, to me, you don't want to ask a friend for money and stuff, because it can really sour a relationship.
It's a tough one, man. Yeah. That's a really tough one. What's your answer, Drew?
I would say that, I mean, I think I'm moved to the borrow money thing. I've been in that situation. I've also been in the position where I feel terrible, because like if you go to a concert or whatever and you realize, you know, we're going to go out to eat afterwards, and you go out to eat and it's like, I don't, you know, can I borrow, you know, kind
it's
of
tight. Yeah.
It's the worst thing to be asked, I think, but also it's very embarrassing, I think, to be in the position of asking.
It's like, it's been a long time, but there's certainly time, like in my early 20s, where you're like, man, I need like $100 or something, you
sure.
know, mm-hmm. you know, like, and mostly at that point, you're just going to family, right. Or, you know, like a parent. Or people that, like, you're still embarrassed to ask, but you know that, like, that worth not getting out on the street.
Yeah.
You start going, you know, like, a little bit harder, at least on that end. I actually don't mind, like, I don't want to loan money, but I don't usually feel quite as bad about it. But it's all just circumstance. How flush am I? You know, when you ask is probably dependent on whether or not I feel that bad about it. Happens to be a good moment where everything's riding high and the money's good. I got to loan you a little bit of cash. But I loan money explicitly under the rule of, I have to assume I will never, ever, ever see this money again. If Gold says, hey, I need to borrow
$200. You're telling yourself that from the jump.
I am telling myself that if I give Gold this $200, that is money I have to assume I'm never getting back. Like, I'd like to get it back, and it'd be cool if I did.
But right here,
but I go
into
the assumption of that money's gone.
So I hear that. Again, this is why I think unless there's really, really in a bind, I just don't think you should loan money to a friend to be good. Because then it all of a sudden can your relationship can be very awkward because you know that person owes you money. I think some other ones on the text line, 913-586-7965. Someone says, hands down, the answer is moving. I have an annual talk with my core group of friends to explain to them that I won't ask them to help me move ever. I don't want them asking me. Someone else says, when Carrington asks me every day to tell one friend about his show is something that they don't like doing.
I think time and place is part of this too.
Someone says, would you let Drew borrow $50 to sell his couch?
I would have let him borrow $50 to sell his couch if it needed. I wouldn't want him to get ripped off though. Somebody said asking you to cover for them for a lie. Hey, if my wife asks, we were together on Saturday night. Anybody want that favor?
No.
That's a favor, but that's a pressure-packed favor.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's your buddy, Gold, or it's my friend, that's a tough one to be like, no, I won't cover for you.
Traditionally, I know this because I think I know my bounds. If somebody says, hey, can you keep a secret? I'm not the person probably to ask that because I do a very poor job. Sometimes I'll let the secret out without even realizing it.
I will say
I don't mean to, but I'm not very good at being asked to keep secrets.
I'll say one that doesn't apply now, but used to really be one that I hated in the favor asking department was cover your shift. So you work at a restaurant. It's a horrifying favor to have to ask. But being asked it is the worst feeling when you work at a restaurant.
Kind of like the money.
Hey, man, I can't work on Friday night. Can you come in and bartend for me? Like, I don't want to do that. And I don't know, Gold, when you were at Best Buy or you worked at the Sporting, at those places, I imagine all kinds of shift covering needs. When it comes to big box places like that, Drew, you ever had, have you had a job where that required? Your wife probably runs into that now because she works at a restaurant.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. In the restaurant industry, it's, hey, I can't make it. Can you cover? Or it's the thing that I think probably would bother you more, Cody, now that you mention it, is I think she's annoyed when she's asked to cover a shift, but it's not from the person whose shift she's covering. It's from somebody else. Like, hey, can you cover this person's shift? They told me they're not going to be here. It's excuse me, have them tell me that they're not able to cover
favor
the shift.
The favor. That's I'm never telling
that's ridiculous.
The secondary person, yes.
From the 816, someone says, dude, my wife always asks the favor. Would you do me a favor and steam clean the floors this weekend? That's what
steam clean the floors. That's a very specific favor. Yeah, I like
that. Ride from the airport, a few people are saying.
Man, it's Uber. You can't be asking. Depending on the time. If it is after 10 p.m., you cannot be asking me for a ride for the airport. You just got to get an Uber.
This is one of those, for a friend, Uber, family member, it's different. I've picked my mom up from the airport at 10:30 at night before. That's different. Agreed. But a friend, you're Ubering. So, you got to do an Uber. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I think it's totally a time. Agree.
Unless it's
before
a friend that's...
Before 8 a.m., after 10 p.m., leave me out of this.
Now, the exception to that is if it's a friend that's coming in town to see me, right? Or is hanging out with our group of friends. Mm-hmm. If it's just Cody's getting back in town and needs a ride home, dude, take an Uber. But if it's, hey, a friend from another, let's say, I worked in another city. If someone from out of town was coming in to hang out during the weekend, I would be willing to pick them up from the airport more than I would just random friends coming back in town, place they live.
Yeah. I don't know, man. With the prevalent, you can park at the airport. You can get an Uber.
Someone says agreeing to go in on a pallet of crap. Yeah, thanks, Cody.
I don't know if that was a favor. That was a scheme. Those are different.
I don't know if you guys are like this too, but whenever, if my mom, I guess that while I was gone, was like, hey, can you do me a favor and go to the store because there was something that we were going to make food wise and we didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Anytime I hear, hey, can you do me a favor, I'm mentally preparing for
something
that I know is not that great. But I was like, oh yeah, sure.
Is that when somebody says, can you do me a favor? It is oftentimes small. It is oftentimes, hey, can I borrow a pencil? Can you pop by one thing for the store? They're asking for money. The sentence, can you do me a favor, doesn't even come out. The bigger ask,
can you do me a favor and loan me $500? That's not a favor.
Or
that's
can you do
a
me a favor and help me pick up this thing from the truck? They just say, I got to pick up this couch. I don't feel like it often comes that way. Gold, you got the truck now. You helped somebody move yet?
I have not. Nobody's asked me yet. But if I got the F-150 thanks to Shawnee Mission Ford. Yeah, I guess I could load up the pickup a little bit. Someone, last one, and then we're going to move on. Andy Reid's coming up around 1 o'clock. Someone says, you shouldn't feel bad for saying no to favors. I ask my wife all the time for a certain favor. She always turns me down. And that is the random
That might be her answer.
Of the day here on Cody and Gold. Up next, we're expected to hear from Andy Reid, Hollywood Brown, and George Karloftis as they get set to head to Brazil.